Ephesians chapter number 3 is where we'll be taking our reading from this morning. I do ask you to be much in prayer for us as we get into the Word of God this morning, that I'll be exactly where God would have me to be and say and do the things that He would have me to say and do. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace before you this morning, and I just want to do my best to preach what He's laid upon my heart, and then we'll have an opportunity to do business with God. And let me just go ahead and say, I know a lot of times at the end of service that I say the altar is open, but this altar is always open. If you ever need to do business with God, this you don't have to wait for an invitation. You don't have to wait for anything else. If you need to come and pray, this altar is always open, and you just make yourself at home in your Father's house. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me as we get into God's Word this morning. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for all that You do. God, I know I'm nothing without You, God, and God, I know that I'm, like I said, just an old sinner saved by grace, and God, I thank You for the opportunity that we have to be in Your house this morning. God, I pray that You'll get me and my weaknesses and my faults and failures out of the way, and may You just use me for a mouthpiece for a few minutes this morning, God. I pray, dear Father, that You'll just hide me behind the cross, God, and protect my mind, protect my mouth. May only things that You want said be said from this pulpit this morning, God. And I pray, dear Father, as we've come together, that we will bless Your holy name, that we'll lift You up, we'll honor You, and we'll praise You. God, I pray, dear Father, dear Lord, that every need will be met here today, that if we as Christians have needs in our lives, God, that we'll surrender those unto You. And God, that we'll leave here closer than we came. And I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know You as our personal Savior. God, we thank You most of all that You looked at us knowing our sins and knowing our faults, God, and You still loved us so much to allow Your Son to come and give His life for us. And it's in His holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 3, let's begin reading with verse number 14. The Bible says here, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." As we're getting into Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 14, Paul is writing again to the people there at Ephesus and this church that he has established in Ephesus. And he is telling them here in verse number 14 through verse number 21, what we're going to read this morning, that he is praying for them. And he says, verse number 14 again, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to His riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth all understanding," "which passeth knowledge." I went to another verse of scripture there. "And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Look at verse number 21 for just a moment. I didn't even think I was going to mention this, but as I read that verse of scripture this morning, well, I want you to look at what it says. "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus." I want to tell you something, church. When we come together, we should have one thing on our hearts and our minds. I know that we come a lot of times and we have needs in our life. We have burdens, we have trials, tribulations, whatever it is, and we come needing help from God. But I really think that as we come together as a congregation, as we come together as a family of believers, we ought to come with the intent to give God glory through every one of our services. It shouldn't be about how beautiful the choir sings or how these three young ladies get up here and sing beautiful. It ought to be all about giving God glory for being so good to us, about giving God glory for saving old sinners like us. And when we come and we have any other intention than to give God glory and to worship Him and to honor Him while we're in His house, I think we've come for the wrong reason. But he says in verse number 21, "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. Now, as we look at the verses here that we've read this morning, I want us to look at some things that Paul was praying for here at the church of Ephesus. I want us to look at three things that he was asking for God to grant them, for God to give them, as they were looking in verse 14 through verse number 21. If you will, for just a second, look for me with me in verse number 16, "that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. As Paul was praying for him, he's saying, I pray that God's presence in your life will enable you to live holy. Look, he's praying for that inner man on the inside of these people here at the Church of Ephesus. You know what? Each and every one of us, every single day, we need strength on our inner man. It is amazing how strong, you know, the Bible talks about a spiritual warfare, about our flesh being so much stronger. We may feed our flesh too much from time to time, but our spirit is willing, but our flesh is so much strong. Sometimes there's a battle going on the inside of us, and we have a struggle doing the things that we should be doing for the glory of God. But he says, I'm going to pray for your inner man, and each and every one of us should be praying for each other, that God's presence in my life would enable me to live a holy life. You know, I don't know how many times I talk to people and ask them about salvation. I ask them about their relationship with Christ. And one of the fears that they have is that they cannot live a life that Christ would have them live. I want to go ahead and tell you, you cannot live a life that Christ would have you live. If we do the things that we want to do, we will not live a life that Christ would have us to live. But if we'll surrender unto God and we'll allow His Holy Spirit to take over our inner man, that new man that is supposed to be on the inside of us, then you can live a life that Christ will be pleased with here on this earth. Paul's saying, I want to pray for that inner man. I want to pray that God's presence would be enabling you to live that holy life. Then let's look at verse number 19. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Look, he says, I want to pray that you, not only that your inner man will be strengthened, that you will live a holy life, but I want to pray that you will be filled with the fullness of God. I want to pray that the characteristics of God will develop in your life. I want to ask you this morning, how much has God developed your life since you became a Christian? Since you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Look, he's saying, I want to pray that the fullness of God fill your life, or I want to pray that the characteristics of God fulfill your life. How have you grown as a Christian since you've been saved? Now, I can look, and there's times in my life when I really grew as a Christian. When you take Silas over the past couple of years, you know, I can go back and look at pictures and see when he was 13 and 14, and he was still standing about this big with a big old gap between his teeth and all that kind of stuff. And then he went and got braces, and next thing I know, I'm looking up to him. He comes in the house all the time, swelled up on me like he's going to do something. He knows better than do something. The old bull still got one good fight left in him. But he comes around, just like that, he grew a bunch over just, it was weeks. It almost like he grew three inches in a week. And I was like, what in the world? But you know what? He's slowing down now. He ain't growing so much. You know, kind of like we all did. There was a place and a time in our life that we grew a lot. And then all of a sudden we stopped. How is our Christian life this morning? Are we still growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, or has it got to the place that we have stopped? He said, I want to pray that the characteristics of God will develop in your life. Then in verse number 17, let's go back and look at one other thing that Paul was praying for here. He says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Listen to verse number 19. This is where we're going to get to this morning. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. You know what? I believe that these other two prayers that Paul was praying, the strength for the inner man, the feeling of the fullness of God in our life, if we get to where we understand and we know the love of Christ, those two will kind of take care of themselves. For just a few minutes this morning, I want to talk to you. I want us to look together at the love of Christ and what the love of Christ can reveal to us. Paul's saying here, he says, I want you to know the love of Christ. And it's not I want you to know about the love of Christ. It's not, I want you to know about what Christ did for you on the cross. It's about, I want you to have an intimate relationship with the love of Christ. I want you to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in your life. And when we get to where we know the love of Christ, you know what? I believe even the day that I got saved, as a 7-year-old boy, I knew that Christ loved me. I knew that He loved me so much that He gave His life on a cross, that He could forgive me of my sins, that I wouldn't have to die and go to hell, but I could go to heaven and be with Him for eternity. I knew about the love of Christ, but all through my Christian walk, I have begun to know the love of Christ. I have begun to get that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I got a personal relationship with Him that night, but our relationship has grown stronger and stronger, and I hope that I'm still growing as a Christian, that I know the love of Christ. I want you to look at three little things, very, very familiar examples in God's Word this morning about people who begin to know the love of Christ. In order to do that, I want to look at these three very familiar scriptures, nothing new to you this morning, but I want us to look for just a minute, just in your mind, over at John chapter number 4. In John chapter number 4, around verse number 4, Jesus looks at his disciples, and they're all going one way, and he says, look, y'all go ahead and do what you need to do, but I must know it needs to go through Samaria. He says, I got to go over here this way for just a minute. The Bible tells us as Jesus is going through Samaria that he goes over to the well one day. And as he approaches that well, he gets to the well and there's a woman there at the well that's drawing water. And I want you to know that this woman, she was out there all by herself. She was out there and maybe everybody else had sort of cast her out. Maybe everybody else had sort of, you know, put her out, and she had to go by herself in the middle of the day out to the well to draw water. And here Jesus goes when nobody else wanted to be around her. Jesus wanted to be around her. He says, y'all go ahead and go your way, but I must needs go through Samaria. I want you to look at some things that the love of Christ revealed to her here at that well that day. As she was there and she was drawing water from the well, we know that Jesus went to ask a drink of water from her. We know that Jesus went and he said, look, give me a drink of water. And she said, well, you don't have anything to draw with. But besides that, what are you doing even talking to me? See, I'm from Samaria and you're a Jew and you're not supposed to be talking to me. But I want you to know this morning, as she was there in her current situation and whatever was going on in her life, that everybody else had put her out, I want you to know this morning that as we look at the love of Christ, that the love of Christ can overcome any current situation that you may have. You may look and you may say, I have this going on in my life. I have that going on in my life. You just don't understand where I'm at. You don't know what I have done. I want to tell you this morning that the love of Christ will overcome any situation that you have going on in your life. I want you to know that it's bigger, that Christ love is bigger than any situation. It's bigger than any addiction. It's bigger than any family problem. It's bigger than any work situation. It's bigger than anything that you could possibly throw up to God this morning. As there as she was there at the well, and as Christ asked her to look, she was looking and she was trying to see an inability of Christ. She looked at him, she said, but you don't have anything to draw with. I want to tell you something. We need to quit questioning God and his ability and know that he can do all things and that God has the power to do everything and know that he has the ability to be bigger than any of our current situations. Even though she was at the well alone, even though that Jesus was the only person that would talk to her, even though that she was concerned that he didn't have enough to do what he needed to do, Christ is bigger than any of your current situations. The love of Christ is bigger than your current situation. We all find ourselves in situations from time to time, don't we? We all find ourselves in a place that we go, oh my goodness. And especially as a lost person, you can find yourself in a current situation that you are looking and you feel all alone. You feel like nobody else knows where you're at. And you even feel like sometimes God can't meet your need, but God is bigger than your current situation. The love of Christ will show that to you. The love of Christ also revealed to her that she could have abundant life. Now, I don't feel like her life was very abundant when she was out here by herself. She had to be away from everybody else. She had to make that trip to the well all alone. I don't feel like her life was very abundant. But I want you to look in verse number 14 that the love of Christ showed her that she could have abundant life. Jesus looks at her and says, but the water that I shall give you shall bring in you a well of living water springing up on the inside of you. You know, water is a big factor of life, isn't it? And I love the way that the Bible uses these parallels to show us. And he says, you know, if you drink from this water, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink from the water that I'm going to give you, it's going to be a well of living water on the inside of you springing up. You may feel like this life is empty sometimes. You may feel like this life is tough. You may feel like I don't know what my purpose in this life is. But I want you to know that the love of Christ can reveal an abundant life on the inside of you. John chapter number 10, verse number 10, the Bible says, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. And then Jesus says, but I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Why are we not living an abundant life? We have a well of living water on the inside of us springing up. We should be joyous on the inside. Look, God's love, the love of Jesus Christ, can reveal to you that you can have an abundant life. God's love also revealed to her that it was a fulfillment that was never ending. As we mentioned a moment ago, we talked about if you drink from this water that you would thirst again. But if you drink from the water that Christ gives you, that you would never thirst again. You say, well, how do you know that she didn't have fulfillment in her life? Well, first of all, as Jesus looks at her and as she begins to talk to him, he says, I want you to go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And he said, you're right, you have had five husbands, and the man you're with now ain't your husband. She obviously was looking for something that she couldn't find. She was obviously looking for some kind of fulfillment that she, or she might have been a bad woman to try to live with. I don't know which one it was. But either way, she'd been through five men, and she was with another one that was not her husband now. And as she, so to me, that tells me that she was looking for some kind of happiness. I know people all in this world that are looking for happiness, and they're trying to fill it with money. They're trying to fulfill it with all kinds of things. I won't go through everything that they try to fill it with, but they try to fill it with all of these things. But I want you to know that the love of Jesus Christ can fulfill you in times of abundance and in times when you don't feel like there's enough, that Jesus Christ and His love will fulfill you on the inside. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. Then I want you to look at what her answer was to that. Sir, give me this water. What are we doing this morning? We have this available to us, and we're sitting back, and we're just not even taking it. We're not even sipping of it anymore. I want to tell you that the love of Jesus Christ, if it is revealed in our lives, if we know that love of Jesus Christ, we should know that any current situation that we have is overcome by the love of Jesus Christ. We should know that we could have an abundant life with the love of Jesus Christ. We should know that our life can be full. We can have the fullness of life by the love of Jesus Christ. As we're looking at another situation, you have to go to John chapter number 8. Again, we have another woman. This woman was caught in the very act of adultery. So many times as I read this scripture, I think about how that in my mind, there were some guys that was laying around in wait. They set her up for this, probably. They just wanted to see if they could catch her doing something wrong. Lord, have mercy. God, help us not to be that thought process as Christians. God, help us that we're not looking for everybody else's wrong, but instead we'll look for what's right in their life and we'll focus on what's wrong in our life and get that taken care of. But as they set this trap for her, and she fell right into the trap, the Bible tells us that they come dragging her to Jesus. They might have drug her right out the window. They might have drug her right out the door and took dragging her to Jesus. Probably in my mind, I see her just barely clothed as they go to dragging her to Jesus. And they go and they say, now, Jesus, you know what the law says. We've caught this woman in the very act of adultery. We've caught her doing wrong. And you know that Moses' law says that she should be stoned. So now what are you going to do with her? And we know what the Bible says, how that Jesus stooped there on the ground and they began to write something on the ground. I'd love to know what he had written there on the ground, but I don't. And the Bible, we know that as he sat there that day and as he looked at her, we know that he had every right to condemn her by the law. I mean, she was guilty to the letter of the law. Caught, no question whatsoever. Not even one doubt. And she should have been stoned right there. But I want you to notice what the love of Jesus Christ revealed to her. I want you to know when she become into the knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ, when she began to know the love of Jesus Christ, I want you to know what it did. First of all, the love of Jesus Christ revealed mercy to her life. As she was there and she knew she was guilty, she knew that she should have been stoned. But as Jesus is there and he stoops down and he begins to write something there on the ground, he looks up at the rest of them and he says, I tell you what, guys, ye without sin, y'all go ahead and cast the first stone. Whoever here does not have sin in your life, you go ahead and you cast the first stone. And the love of Jesus Christ revealed mercy unto this woman. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus Christ and his love revealed mercy unto you? Don't you remember a time that you were found guilty? Don't you remember a time that you deserved to die and go to hell? You know what? I can remember a time yesterday when I deserved to die and go to hell. I can remember a time on Friday, on Thursday, on Wednesday. You once go, so yeah, I used to do all kinds of stuff when I was lost. It's not about when I was lost. I've done stuff yesterday that I deserve to die and go to hell for. But I'm glad that the mercy of God was revealed unto me because I know the love of Jesus Christ and I have become in an intimate relationship with the love of Jesus Christ, that mercy has been extended unto me, that God has mercy on me and I can go and repent of those sins. And that's where you find the second thing that the love of Jesus Christ revealed to her. See, as she was there and he looked up and he said, ye without sin cast the first stone, the Bible tells us that they all began to walk away. And when it was all said and done, it was just her and Jesus still there. And you know what? The reason that Jesus didn't walk away is because he was there without sin. He still had every right to condemn her. He still had the authority. He still had the power to find her guilty of the law, to stone her. She hadn't experienced mercy through the love of Jesus Christ, and now she is fixing to experience forgiveness from the love of Jesus Christ. Because you know what? He looked at her and said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." So as she's sitting there, and even though that Jesus could have still have stoned her, because of the love of Jesus Christ being revealed to her that day, she found mercy and then she found forgiveness. You know what? God has every right in the world to condemn me. God has every right in the world to cast me into hell. God has every right in the world to reach and mark my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. But I'm thankful that He's promised me that He wouldn't do that. I'm thankful that He has said if I would become one of His children, that my name would be written there. And one day when I stand before Him, even though He has every right in the world to throw me into a bottomless pit, even though He has every right in the world to sentence me to condemnation because the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to my life, I'm glad that I have found mercy, I have found forgiveness, and because of the love of Jesus Christ, I will be in His presence one day. Do you know the love of Jesus Christ? Then, because of the mercy that she experienced because of the love of Jesus Christ, because of the forgiveness that she experienced because of the love of Jesus Christ, I want you to see what else the love of Jesus Christ did. It changed her. Look, He didn't say, "Here's some mercy and here's some forgiveness. Now go on." What did He say? "Go and sin no more." I want to tell you something. Because I know the love of Jesus Christ, that's the reason that I try to live my life for Jesus Christ. The reason that I try to live and walk and do the things the way that God wants me to do them is because I know the love of Jesus Christ. It's not because that I'm afraid that He's going to zap me, because if He wanted to zap me, He could do it right now. If He wanted just to take me out of here, He could do it right now. But I'm glad because of the love of Jesus Christ that He made a change in me, that there's something on the inside of me. I've done told you this morning, I'm not perfect. I sin every single day. But I can tell you this, I got something on the inside of me that goes to bubbling when I do. I got something on the inside of me that goes to pulling on me when I do. And if you can sin and it doesn't bother you, if you can sin and it doesn't pull on you from on the inside, let's talk sometime. Because you may have a head knowledge instead of a heart knowledge of the salvation of Jesus Christ. There should be something on the inside of you, because just like He told this woman, He said, "Here's mercy, here's forgiveness," and then He said, "Go and sin no more." I'm glad because of the love of Jesus Christ that it has been revealed to me that I have been changed. Lastly, and I'll be done this morning, let's look at one more example. Over in John chapter number 3, we find a man, a very religious man. The love of Jesus Christ was revealed to the woman at the well. The love of Jesus Christ was revealed to the woman taken in the very act of adultery. But now in John chapter number 3, we have a man that's a good man. He's doing everything right. He's very religious. He knows all the rules. He knows it all. But he comes to Jesus at night. The Bible tells us that Nicodemus begins to talk to Jesus about going to heaven. That he begins to inquire of what he may do to go to heaven. And we know that Jesus looked at him and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." And Nicodemus even has questions about that. What do you mean born again? What you mean I got to go back into my mother's womb and be? No, it's not that. It's a spiritual rebirth. But I want you to know that Jesus could have looked at him and said, "You know what? You old religious thing, I ain't got time for you." Listen, I find myself sometimes having mercy and forgiveness, empathy for people who are lost, dying on their way to hell. I find myself having empathy for those people, having sympathy for them and wanting to reach out to them. I find myself being aggravated with people who have religion. I find myself being in a place of, even though they may be saved, they may believe in Jesus Christ, but they're so religious that the only thing they can focus on is all of my failures and faults. I find myself like that. But you notice that Jesus wouldn't like that whatsoever. He said, "Look, Nicodemus, I know that you're religious. I know that you know all the law. You're a student of the law. You're a scholar of the law." And he begins to talk to him. And as Jesus begins to talk to him, I want you to notice what the love of Jesus Christ revealed to him. the love of Jesus Christ revealed to him that religion is not sufficient to go to heaven. A bunch of do's and don'ts is no good. We can follow every commandment that the Bible has for us, but if we don't accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, we'll still die in our sins and go to hell. And as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus that night, he says, you must be born again. That religion is not enough to enable you to go to heaven. The love of Jesus Christ will reach out to people that maybe we have problems reaching out to people that we sometimes may aggravate us a little bit. The love of Jesus Christ revealed unto Nicodemus that religion is not sufficient. The love of Jesus Christ revealed unto Nicodemus that Jesus didn't come here to beat you up about your sin. You say, well, what do you mean? You trying to say that Jesus accepts sin? Absolutely not. There is no room for compromise when it comes to sin. Let's just throw that out there right now. There is no room for us as a church, and I don't care if it said Baptist, Methodist, whatever, over the door. Okay, let's not even talk about denomination right now. Let's talk about true born-again believers of Jesus Christ. There is no room for us to start to compromise the Word of God when it comes to sin. But you know what? There's no room for us to sit around and condemn sinners either. There is no room for us to sit around and think that we're better than someone else. Oh, because they're still doing what you used to do, or they're sinning a little different than you are. There's no room for that. And as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus here that night, I want you to look what he said to him. In John chapter number 3, verse number 17, a lot of times we stop with verse number 16, but verse number 17 says that Jesus was not sent in this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus wasn't sent here to condemn me. He wasn't sent here to just punish me for all of my sins. He was sent here that I could know the love of Jesus Christ. And then as we look at Nicodemus there that night, we know because of the love of Jesus Christ that salvation is for everybody, especially you. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 3 and verse number 16, you should be able to quote this with me, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know what? That don't mark out anybody. Whatever the worst thing you can think of right now, the worst sin that you could think of right now, Jesus Christ died for that also. Now let's go to the opposite end of that. Whatever you think your smallest sin is, Jesus had to die for that too. Do you know the love of Jesus Christ? Man, as Paul is praying for him, he says that you may know the love of Jesus Christ. If we get to where we know the love of Jesus Christ, where we have an understanding, you won't ever understand it. You won't ever get the complete full picture of it. But if you ever get to where you just know and you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ, then our lives will be changed. Our thoughts will be changed. Our expressions will be changed. Everything about you will be changed if we begin to know the love of Jesus Christ. Listen, in all three of these instances, I believe that these people were changed because they began to know the love of Jesus Christ. Hannah, if you will, come get us an invitational hymn this morning. Jennifer, if you can come help her, thank you. My question to you is, do you know the love of Jesus Christ? It can overcome your current situation and give you life, and give you abundant life. It can fulfill your life. It can give you mercy, forgiveness. Man, all these things that the love of Jesus Christ, and you know what? If you're here this morning and you're saved and you remember the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you experienced that day with the love of Jesus Christ. But even as I was studying for this message this morning, last night and throughout the week, even as I was thinking about the love of Jesus Christ, you know, there's a whole lot of the love of Jesus Christ that I take for granted so much in my life every day. I take for granted his mercy and his forgiveness. I take for granted the fulfillment that he's given me in my life. As Alan was talking about in Sunday school this morning, I get to focus in on the here and now and what's going on right here. You know what? I'm planted too deep, church. You say, what are you talking about? The Bible tells me that I'm a pilgrim and a stranger just passing through this world, and I'm acting like this world's my home. I'm acting like, man, that everything that I do here is so important. when what really should be important is what I'm doing to prepare for over there. Who am I pointing to the cross? How am I giving God glory with my life? I'm planted too deep. Doing a whole lot here. The Bible tells me to lay up treasures in heaven. You know, the love of Jesus Christ, when we begin to know that, when we begin to comprehend that, to live like that's what matters in our life, a lot of our lives will change, just like these three in the Bible this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, if you're here this morning and you're lost, you may not know the love of Jesus Christ yet, but there's no day better than right now to experience the love of Jesus Christ. Whatever your current situation is, He can overcome it. Preacher, you just don't know what sin I'm in. Doesn't matter. He died for that sin. Preacher, you just don't know how much trouble I have with this or that. Doesn't matter. He died for that also. Maybe you're here this morning and you know that you're saved. Maybe you found yourself in the same boat I'm in. You planted a little deep. Maybe you found yourself in the same boat I'm in, that you remember what it felt like to know the love of Jesus Christ when you got saved, and maybe at different times in your life. But right now, I'm taking it for granted. Right now, I'm not trying to understand the love of Christ. I'm just trying to do it all on my own. Here in just a minute, she's going to sing. I want you to take just a second. Look inside yourself. How is your understanding of the love of Jesus Christ this morning? Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for all that you do for us. God, as we're looking into our own lives right now, God, may you speak to us. God, I want to thank you for the love of Jesus Christ. And God, I need to understand it more. God, I need to experience it more. God, I pray that we as a church family will look to you, God, that will allow you to work in our lives. God, I pray most of all for this one here that's never experienced your love in the way of salvation. I pray that today will be the day. God, as we stand to our feet in just a minute, maybe I'm not the only one that's found themselves in that situation, God, where we're taking your love for granted. God, I pray that you'll give us this opportunity and help us to take advantage of this opportunity to come and talk to you and to resurrender some things in our life that we need to give back. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.